grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and ever henceforth. Amen. I couldn't help but think here, I was sitting up here with Elmer, you got these two old bucks you got to put up with today. We may be retired from the pastorship, but if we know Christianity and we know the ministry never ceases. It's just like a wedding. Your ministry goes on until death do you part. So I hope and pray that even us old bucks can take care of. And I'm looking at all these young people here now. So maybe we can offer a little bit something for and to you to encourage you. We were just singing Showers of Blessing, and I can't help but kind of goes on with the thought of that text that I have chosen for today, that we have showers and pray for showers of blessings each day of this life because we need them. We can't walk alone. But then we know that when this is all done, there will be a shower of blessing that will never cease. And that was the thought that kind of prompted my heart to choose the text that I have chosen for this Sunday. And it's going to be found in the book of Revelation, the last chapter. You know, we wonder why, what are we doing here on this earth? What is life all about? And I know I've mentioned it time and time again in the last few years, especially because it's just been a burden on my heart. But in life now, and we pray for the showers of blessing, that it would prepare us for eternity. Because that's what life is all about. Because that's eternity is the end of life and this earth. Then we begin a new life. But that new life is going to be a life in paradise. The blessings will never cease. And all of the curses and all the things of life are going to be left behind. So with that, I'm going to read the last chapter of the Bible. Because this is what we are looking forward to and waiting for and preparing for. I read in Jesus' name, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the Holy Spirit prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must surely be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and had seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren of the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, or as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto them the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Again, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I love the way the Bible ends. It ends with this warning that this book that we have before us is the only book that is going to be used in judgment. We can't add to it, and we cannot take from it. And of course, it speaks of what we are looking for, we are preparing for. We know that the struggle is hard at times. The devil is working overtime, trying to deceive the very elect, as Jesus himself and the scripture warns us, that he doesn't have to waste his time with those that are in the world already. So he can concentrate all of his efforts against you and I who confess the name of Jesus Christ. We can see throughout the world, when we look at the world, that how the name of Jesus Christ has become such a horrible name that it's become outlawed even. But this is how the devil is working in these last times. And we know that there are those false religions and so much that are coming and teachings that are coming to try to deceive us and to draw us away from this wonderful promise that is made in this last two chapters of the Bible, especially when the 21st chapter defines the holy city that is coming down. But as those that are followers of Jesus Christ, we are thankful for the Spirit of God that has opened our eyes to see the truth. We know that there is going to be only two options when Jesus Christ comes again. Either you have done good and you will be welcomed home, or you have done evil and not prepared yourself, and as a result, you will be faced the curse of God forever and forever. But we know that all of this started back in the garden, that sin came into the world. And we know that in the garden there was two trees. We know that there was the tree of life, as it speaks of here in our beginning of our text. And there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know that the Lord gave but one commandment. Think of it, just one commandment that was given. We don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we see the devil, who again has been cast out of heaven, and he's an angel, and he's working hard, and he used deceit, lies, promises to deceive the very chosen created of God, which was Adam and Eve. But we know that as a result of it, sin came in, and we as a result of it inherit this nature of sin. And as a result of this inheritance, we know that we need somebody, some way, to be able to escape what God said, you shall surely die. And God in his love already, even though the first couple fell, he promised the seed of the woman. And it took many years, but yet everything that God has promised in his word is God has fulfilled. And we know that he is going to fulfill even this promise that we have read about, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, as Peter has written. But there was also another tree in that garden, which was called the tree of life. And that tree remained in that garden, but because of sin, God drove man out of the garden and protected that tree of life so that it would remain there in the garden in paradise. Because it was paradise until sin came. And he wanted to protect that. But there's going to be another viewing of that tree. You know, we have times when we have a viewing. We go out and we see something the second time. And we're going to have that opportunity if we remain faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ as the followers of Jesus Christ. We heard, as we read from Ephesians there, that how we as God's children are to live and prepare ourselves, and how we are to have the armament that God has given to us to be able to survive this test, because life is a test, and then be able to see this tree of life that is there prepared for those who are faithful unto the end. But it is only by the power of God's word and spirit and the grace of God that makes this hope possible. But he tells us there that there is that pure river of water of life. And we notice that Jesus Christ refers to the water of life here in time already, but it's going to be there, and it is going to be there throughout eternity. But we partake of that water of life. We partake of the bread of life. We partake of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, we partake of all of this in time, in preparation that we might one day see the very throne of God, the one that is the maker and the creator, as we saw Alpha and Omega mentioned here, the beginning and the end, the maker and the creator of all things. We will see him one day face to face. And that's what we are preparing for. We have something that we are looking forward to. You know, in body and in life, we have many things that we look forward to, and we prepare for them. We go to school, we get married, we have families, we have jobs, we have retirements, we have all these. We try to prepare for them, but all of these are temporal. They are here for just a little while, and even as we say, it's just a blink of the eye, you might say, compared to eternity. That's how short our life is, but yet we look at that even though our life is that brief, that God is with you and I every moment of that life, that we are never alone. And we sing with the songwriter, even, no, never alone. We are never alone. And God is always with us. You know, I can't help but think of you losing that little tiny girl here just so recently, that even there, she is never alone. I know it's hard to lose someone so precious and dear to us. But yet, in a sense, we can rejoice knowing that this precious little girl is already in heaven waiting for us. Because such innocence, and I pray that we could all have that innocence of a little child. And God, Lord, often uses that as an example, even as an example of innocence and of faith, that they have so much faith. So we can look forward and thank God that that one does not have to face the trials of life anymore. For none considereth the Lord take the righteous away from the evil to come. That sometimes we forget in the time of grief that the Lord has been there, and the Lord has taken that loved one, you know, is there already, but you and I as parents, grandparents and great-grandparents, we still have to face life. But that precious little one is home already, there by this tree and the water of life. That he has that assurance, and that's why we can rejoice knowing that those that believe have this waiting for them. And that tree there, as it tells us, is going to bear its fruit, and it's going to provide for all the things that we are going to need throughout eternity. But we will not go there with this human body that I'm viewing here, a whole church full of young, beautiful people, and a couple of old bucks that started this service and are here. That we're not going to be here forever. But we are all preparing one day that we're going to see that tree of life and go there to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and to see that throne that is there. And we look at the very first chapter of this book of Revelation. It describes that throne. And there's the 24 elders bowing down before, worshiping, praising, thanking the Almighty. And we're going to join them one day. And of course, we look at the promises made to us in the seventh chapter, where there's that great multitude that are clothed in white, and they have come through a great tribulation, and we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That those are the ones that will hear those most precious words of welcome, as Jesus himself said, that come, blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that kingdom has been there already. And then we know that John was spared as a disciple. The others were all martyred or murdered, you might say. But John was spared for this one moment, that he could see what is prepared for eternity, and that he was told to write here in our text, and he was told to write earlier already in the same book of Revelation, so that you and I today would have something to look forward to and plan for, rather than just this life and its trials and things that are going to be left behind, as it describes here, that there shall be no more curse, and there shall be no more night, and there's seven of them. There's no sea, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no curse, no night, no death. All these are going to be left behind here. But then we will be there, and but the throne of the Lamb of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants will serve him. That we are going to, we think of the patriarchs that are mentioned in the scriptures. We know that they will have glorified bodies as Jesus Christ had and as we will have, but they will all be there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and some of these patriarchs that we have read of, they're going to be all there waiting in heaven for us to welcome us there into that new glory land. And the throne of God is there. We will see the one that is the author and the finisher of all life and of our faith, and the one that made it possible by becoming incarnate, taking our sin upon himself on the cross of Calvary. He suffered, he died, and he cried from that cross. And I love those words that he said before he said it is finished, but he said that, Father, forgive them. This is grace. We know that Apostle Paul has written about this grace, that we add anything from the law or anything else to this grace, we have fallen from it. So the way this Bible ends, we can't add to anything that God has put and made perfect in himself and through his Son. It is perfect. If we try to alter that, then we have fallen from the face of God and the promises that he has made. But he is going to be there, and that he is going to welcome each and every one of us home. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, that we will be identified when we come to heaven. But we have to prepare and get this identification mark already in time. And that by repenting and believing and walking in faith, even as we heard already from the reading in Ephesians 6, that how we are to take the armament that has been provided for us, but we have to take Jesus Christ. If we don't take Jesus Christ and all that he is by faith, we have nothing. He is the only reason of our salvation and our only hope that we have. But we will one day be there in heaven. And there is no night there, no need for a candle. The light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, this is the word that kind of strikes me. When it talks about eternity or forever and forever, makes you wonder, when you look at the masses of people that have been and are on the earth at this time, how many people out of this mass that's even alive today are actually considering eternity or forever and forever? How do they take that statement, forever and forever? And it's obviously that many are just ignoring it because they're not preparing for it. But I thank God that here we have a church full of young people and elder ones also who have taken this thought and prepared for it. That you are ready to go to heaven. That if it would happen at this moment, all that are alive in Christ would rise. First of all, out in the cemetery out there, we would see the graves opening, and those who have been laid into the dust of the earth in faith will rise first. But we're not going to prevent them, we're going to join them. And that is going to be a wonderful, wonderful day when we can just go to heaven and rejoice evermore. But the point is that we have considered that word eternity and forever and ever. You have to choose, because in both options, one is paradise, the other is a curse, as it tells us in that 21st chapter. And he warns us at the end of the scriptures that there is going to be torments day and night forever and forever. So again, we see forever, forever, forever. It always comes there, doesn't it? And that's why, to me, it's been such an important thing that we have to always consider our actions, that what and how we live and how we prepare. And we heard again, as I mentioned, that, and as Elmer read from Ephesians, that we take that armament that has been given to us from heaven above. We take the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is our our fortification. That is our blood. That is who has prepared the hope for us and prepared our hearts so that we can confess the name of Jesus Christ boldly today and forever and forever again. So then he said, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come. And so again, he said, these are true. There is nothing that is false in this Bible. It is all truth, and Jesus Christ, of course, being the way, the truth, and the life. So that's why we don't have to, and I mentioned many times that there are millions of books out there written by authors, and some of them are excellent. But there is none that exceeds the perfection of this book right here in front of me, the Bible. That's the one that's going to stand as far as which book have we followed and the instruction, which instruction book, maybe we should call it that way, the instruction book have we followed. Is it this one or is it going to be the opinions of men? There are all kinds of opinions out there. But then, three times, it's laid on his heart to say, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. We don't know the day or the hour. I had the second funeral in our church this year, last week. You know, you think that, well, these old timers and us, we're going to keep on passing on. But all of a sudden, we had kind of a relapse there. Nothing happened. Nobody passed away. But now all of a sudden, quickly, though we realized that they were aged and there was that time for them to leave this earth. But even with this little tiny girl, quickly, nobody anticipated something like this. And it's been not only just this time, but there's been many in the area that they just come that quickly. That when you don't anticipate it, then all of a sudden it's there. So, you know, we think of the Lord's second coming as coming quickly, and it will be. But our personal life, when does that end? That's the end of your opportunity to be prepared for eternity. And that can come quickly. I praise and thank God. A year and a half ago, maybe not quite that long, I had bypass surgery. We found the problem. Had no evidence that I had a problem, but thanks be to God, we found the problem. No heart damage, but we have replaced that. But I can still go just as quickly as anybody that would have had heart damage or a heart attack. That we have to always keep that in mind. He comes quickly when our life is over. All opportunities to prepare for eternity are gone. Our decisions have been made, and those decisions will stand on Judgment Day. So he said, come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings and the prophecy of this book. So when we prepare ourselves, repenting and believing and taking the armament that we have heard of, already mentioned several times, that we are blessed because now we have a lively hope that the world does not have. The world is living as if there's no end and as if there's nothing after. But it's going to be a sad day when all of a sudden every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sad part is that many, for them, as with the many, with the parable of the virgins, too late. That's too late. But if you are prepared today and Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior and you're believing and trusting in him with all of your heart and soul and mind, you can only rejoice that I will one day receive that reward and crown that is there. So John was saved for this very purpose, to tell us about this last home that we have. And he, of course, John, even though he was a chosen servant of God, we know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet he had that human nature here. He wanted to bow down and worship this angel. But the angel put him straight in a big hurry. And he said unto me, still thou do it not. I am a fellow servant, and thy brethren and prophets, and of them that keep the saying of this book. But he said, worship God. Even these holy angels, Yes, we recognize them and we honor them for what they have been called to do, but they're not our Savior. There's only one, and that is Jesus Christ. We know there before Jesus departed, even Jesus spoke to his disciples and he told them, follow me. Follow me. Didn't tell them to follow the other disciples or anyone else. So often we will follow a person. Yes, our church is Apostolic Lutheran. We respect the work that Luther did when he saw the points that was wrong with the Catholic Church that he was studying in. But we honor Luther for what he's done, but we don't put our faith and trust in him. We are thankful for the teachings that he has brought from the Scriptures, but he is still not our Savior. Only one, and that is Jesus Christ. So John had to realize that I can't worship that angel. As wonderful things that I have seen, that angel is only a fellow servant, as with all of us then. So he says that, he that saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. That is why it's so important then that we as the Christian church continue to proclaim this gospel message, that we do not seal it, we do not hide it, or we do not try to restrict it. We know that, like even in the Old Testament time, there was some restrictions as to who was going to hear the word that was proclaimed. But now, when Jesus Christ came and the day of Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came, it opened the entire world, for God so loved the world. And that is what we have been called as a Christian church, then to not to seal the sayings and the prophecies and the teachings of this book. Proclaim it boldly. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. These are the words that Jesus Christ spoke at the beginning of his ministry and in the closing of his ministry. He told his disciples to go preach the gospel, that is the good news, the salvation that comes through his redemption that he has a promise and has fulfilled in our stead. So then he says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be still, filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. We notice that we have a negative and we have a positive, and we realize that they are there. Then, but all we have been called to do is bring the gospel to those that are still, as we say, that are filthy and so forth, so that that spirit is the one that is going to do the work in their heart. We have been called to sow the seed, but the Spirit is what brings that word and opens the heart to understand it, and we leave it there up to that Spirit to do that work. Yet we have to be faithful in proclaiming the truth and the good news of Jesus Christ unto all the world, so that then, he said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, and to give every man according as his work shall be. A second time he says, I come quickly now. But every man will receive his reward. This is why we are preparing for eternity, because when Jesus Christ comes again, the rewards are going to be handed out. We think of people, you maybe remember it at high school when you graduated, you all marched up on the stage or wherever you went, and somebody that represented the school handed you a reward that says you are a graduate. That day is going to happen also one day when we are called to come into heaven. I don't believe that he's going to come out and have a certificate written out like that. He's just going to look at your robe and he's going to say, come, blessed of the Father, inherit that which you have prepared from the beginning of time. We are recognized already. But the point is that there is going to that day, and I come quickly. That is why, again, I can't emphasize that we have to prepare for it. Yes, we know he's going to come to judge, but he has to prepare for it in time, our lifetime. We can't depend upon mom or dad or anyone else. It is a personal matter that each one of you and each one of us has to prepare personally for this second coming of Christ, because it will come quickly and his reward is with him. That there's no other time of judgment other than when Jesus Christ comes. And he's the only one, because he has the record of your life. The whole world does not have it. He has it. And you are so marked. While they tell us there, he's got their name on your forehead, but you got that whited robe. That's the important thing. That robe is washed white in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul emphasizes to put away every weight and every sin that besets us. It's so hard for us as human beings to say, I'm sorry. It's one of the hardest things for us to say. I often think of the children when they're scrapping amongst themselves, and you tell them that you have to apologize to your sister or your brother. You know how they are. They don't jump it to the opposite end. And you know, we're no different than they are. It's hard for us to say, I'm sorry. But in essence, this is what we are telling God. God, I have failed. I have sinned in word, thought, and deed, and I need your forgiveness. And God, in all of his grace, he will speak through his servants, which we have been called to, and we mentioned a moment ago. Believe. Believe. Even today, believe. All your sins forgiven in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ. Washed away into that infinite sea of grace. And God acknowledges he hears that. I don't forgive you. Elmer doesn't. Dennis doesn't. God is the one that forgives you. We are only his servants to proclaim what he has told us to proclaim. That is the good news of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. So, blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates of the city. Now we come back to that tree again, don't we? That tree was blocked off when Adam and Eve sinned. And now it is waiting. Yes, we know that we've got 6,000 Bible years, but that tree is there just as full of fruit as ever, waiting for us to come to behold it and to see that tree of life, which is is made possible through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, so that we will be able to enter into that holy city, and that we are going to see that tree of life. And it speaks of that city there, streets of gold, so pure and transparent like glass, and the pearly gates, and all the foundations, and all that is going to be there. But that is going to be our eternal home. It's not just temporary like today. It's going to be here forever and ever. But what's going to happen on the outside? He said, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So there we see then, this is the final separation again. They are going to face the wrath of God forever and forever. That's the emphasis on this eternity and ever tonight, this morning. That they will face that forever and forever. We know that the rich man and Lazarus, rich man had everything, but he died. Lazarus had nothing, ate the scraps off the table, off the rich man's table, and he went to Abraham's bosom. And there he was in joy. But the rich man cried from the pits of hell, one drop of water to ease the torments that I'm in. Forever and forever. So this is just a warning to be prepared, because Jesus is going to come quickly, and that we have to be ready when that happens. I have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. So this is, Christ has come to complete that work so that our salvation is completely prepared. We don't have to add or subtract anything. It's all there. But then he has also commissioned us as the church, ordained us as a Christian church to proclaim this good news to the world. And that's what we have been called to do, that he has sent his angels to testify unto us. And the Lord refers to those that believe as angels. You are angels. That as long as you are serving God and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are angels serving the Lord. So then comes the final invitation. He says, the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now we saw the water of life in the beginning of our text here. And now we are going to partake of it freely, that we will be there in that paradise where the tree of life is, and that water of life is there. But he says, come. Three times come. You know, we use three as an emergency signal. Three blasts of the horn tells something's happening, or three of this tells us something is happening. Now he tells us three times, come. First of all, the Spirit and the bride say, come, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then let him that heareth say, come. that here, we hear, no, we have been called to minister the word, and then finally he says, he does a thirst come. We have hunger and thirst, and we know that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled, and we are invited to come to partake of that eternity that has been prepared for us so completely and so preciously out of the love of God in Christ Jesus. It is there for us to just ask, like it tells us, you ask and you shall receive, but you have to ask believing. And then he concludes there when he says that, I testify unto every man that heareth the words and the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's why I say that there's only book that is going to stand on the last day. We're not going to be able to drag in all kinds of other evidences as we would sometimes consider them to be. We have only one, and this is the one that is going to stand. We can't add anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ because it is perfect. If we try to do something ourselves, and this is where our own righteousness comes in, we are taking it away. So it's kind of a narrow road, which it is, that leads to home. We can't add, we can't subtract. We follow. That's what he says. Follow me, or follow him, as he said, worship God and follow him. And that's all we have. God asks us to do, to walk by faith and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who became the example of righteousness. And he's the only righteousness that we have that is going to stand. All other righteousnesses are as filthy rags, as Apostle Paul himself testifies. So then the Bible concludes, surely I come quickly. The third time, I come quickly. But then how do we reply as children of God? I love that. Surely, even so, come Lord Jesus. We are ready, aren't we? We are prepared. We're waiting for that very moment that Jesus will come and say, come, beloved, inherit that kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. All this preparation is going to be fulfilled that moment. And there will be nothing but joy and rejoicing in heaven when we go there. We were there with the 24 that were bowed down, as mentioned in the beginning of this book of Revelation. We will see them there, and as I've already mentioned, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And maybe grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, or maybe these little babies that have left your midst here even, they will be there. And they will say, and we could all say one thing, hallelujah, thank God, amen. Unite in the closing prayer. Father, we thank you for this word, the word that is the word of truth, so precious, so wonderful, so life-giving, so complete. And we just want to pray for faith to be able to believe it unto the salvation of our souls and one day be able to rejoice with all the saints that have gone before. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.